is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hey, I'm Panda, and I like Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hey, I'm Alonzo. I'm generally on board for Hallmark Christmas movies.
I'm Dan, and I despise Hallmark Christmas movies, and this is
the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Oh boy. Rip, roaring, ready to go.
Movie Bam. Number two.
I mean, just like I was shot out of a cannon. Am I right, Panda?
Oh boy, I'm Sparky.
New M on New the track. M. New M. Hit it one. Go.
I like Christmas trees, y'all, and I also like to ball. I am super, super fresh like a seafood man.
That wasn't one of his better ones.
No, I think it was
to be honest, ever since New M stopped rapping about how New Eminem was better, it's been the results have been higher and lower.
Well, he's trying to find his voice.
Yeah.
I think that's been, some have compared him to Eminem, and others have compared him to, NF.
NF. Wow. You know what, the equivalent of New M to Old M is?
Seven.
Is, that Greenville to everywhere else.
Yeah, you think
that's
so?
That's like that's kind of the same.
I don't know how that makes sense at all.
Yeah, that Greenville's great is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and then all the rest pale in comparison.
That's exactly
you right. have other Greenvilles out there.
A lot of them.
None that matter.
But none of them are that Greenville.
Those Greenvilles, that's but right. not that, that Greenville.
That's exactly right. Hey, guys, really excited. We just got done watching this movie during our marathon, Boyfriends of Christmas Past. Of course we're watching it on the Philo, the way God intended.
Where else would we?
Philo.tv/DTH. And can't wait to break it down with you boys. But before we do, I do want to know, how was your weekend?
Good gracious. I feel like I've spent the last week in this room, so I can't really... It's been a long week, Brandon. It's been a long week. But I'm here, and it's been a fun day, so that's what counts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you do. Guys, do you want to dive into this one?
Let's do it.
Boyfriends of...
Christmas Past.
Christmas Past. It originally aired on October 23rd. I got a little...
Are you okay? A little choked up? You're going to make it?
And it went a little something like this. Lauren and Nate are best friends. You know that because they are really good at charades. Mm-hmm. She agrees to go to this party with him as friends. When she finds out that they're going to be decorating a Christmas tree together alone, she makes up an excuse. I can't do that. I can't do this. Work, 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 work. Instead, she stays at home by herself and she falls asleep, only to be woken up by this random teenager. Who is this random teenager? Well, it turns out it was her high school boyfriend. And he's like, you're going to be visited by three ex-boyfriends tonight. They're going to tell you where you're going wrong before it's too late. Is she dying? I don't know. She doesn't really know what that means either. She tells Nate about this the next day, and he's like, that's crazy, man. So they keep hanging out. We then see... the ghost from a couple ghosts from college. One of those ghosts tells her that he loves her, and she's like, we should break up. The next one is like, hey, we should move in together. And she's like, we should break up. And who did she turn to after those breakups? My boy, Nate. She's talking to her best friend that's not Nate, and they're talking about stuff. And Lauren is, you know, talking about what's been going on. And this girl is like, man, Nate is perfect for you. And she's like, Nate, what? No. They then take a carriage ride together, as friends do. And he is about to tell her the truth about how he's feeling. She senses this. And cuts him off and is like, I gotta go do work stuff again. And because of work, she ends up missing out on the work party thing that she promised that, or this work thing that she'd be promised she'd be a part of, and doesn't like tell him and just is late. So she runs there. She realizes that she's late for it, and he's outside of the thing, and he's like, "No, we're not doing this right now. I'll tell you what I feel, and you're gonna listen. I love you, and I'm mad at you, so I'm not gonna spend Christmas with you. I'm out of here." It's very serious stuff. We get one more boyfriend who shows that she's afraid of engagement this time, and she's like, "I can't do that." We then see all of the boyfriends of the past together to show the future, which is Nate proposing to another girl, and Lauren ain't having it. She talks to her dad about how her mom leaving at Christmas made it hard for her to commit, and her dad gives her this nice pep talk. It's wonderful. We then go to her big work pitch thing, and she's doing it. She's crushing it. Everybody's like, "This is what we've been waiting for with this pitch." And then she sees a picture of Nate, and she just can't. She's like, "I gotta go." She runs out. She goes, gets on a nice little fancy dress, meets him up at the little party, and is like, "Hey, Nate, guess what? I'm here because I love you too." And they kiss. Flash forward a year. He proposes. She says yes this time. They kiss. The ghosts are outside. And that, my friends, was
Boyfriends of Christmas Past.
Exactly we right. did it.
We did do it.
Yes, sir.
We're going to take a quick break.
Already?
And when we come back,
okay,
we're going to talk about this movie more. I think we're going to do four segments.
Four? And that's new.
I've been kind of throwing around.
Four for season four.
Four for season four.
Dude, I am happy. We are almost at, 5,000 reviews now at least?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, for
5, sure. 5,000 by question. Season five. Yeah. So
we're going to get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Exactly right. I want to tell you guys about something that happened to me recently that's going to be tough for me to get over, and it was the introduction to Rothy's.
Oh, my gosh. It's the most comfortable shoe I've ever put on.
It's an absolute delight.
The most comfortable shoe I've ever put on.
That's the number one word that people use to describe Rothy's, is comfortable.
Oh, my goodness.
It's unbelievable. There's so many amazing styles. There's styles for the longest time, it was all nice, these amazing female shoes. Got some shoes for the dudes now. We got our pairs. We're loving them. They're absolutely amazing. And they are incredibly comfortable, cozy, 100% machine washable, different colors, patterns, styles. I really do love them.
My dog stepped her muddy paw on my shoe. I thought they were ruined. Put them in the washer. Crisp, fresh, brand new. It's unbelievable. Most comfortable shoe I've ever worn.
That's exactly right. And I have good news. Rothy's is doing something a little special for us.
What are we getting?
They're going to help give our listeners wear this really cool limited time little deal here, which is $20 off your first purchase of Rothy's.
Oh, sign me up.
You got to go to rothys.com/deck. That's rothys.com/deck. And you get $20 off. Off.
Boy.
This amazing recycled material shoe that's so comfortable. That is rothys.com/deck to get $20 off today. And don't forget, this season is sponsored by Philo, giving you all of your favorite made-for-TV movies at home, the hub for the holidays.
The holiday movie hub.
The Hallmark, the Lifetime, the Ups, all the things you could want. And they're giving you 25% off your first 2 months by going to philo.tv. Philo.tv, tell them that Tammy sent them. You. We're back, everybody.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about the Ghosts movie. Shall we?
Yep.
Let's do it.
Ghost of Boyfriends Past. The second
Boyfriends of Christmas Past. There's no ghosts in the title anywhere, if you can believe it. They don't want to scare anybody off.
Well, you wouldn't. Yeah. Boyfriends of Ghost Past.
Nope, none of the boyfriends are dead.
Yeah,
nope.
They're all still alive.
As far as we know.
Well, one of them definitely, because she looked for him on
social media. Exactly.
Yes.
Let's break this movie down. We got four songs. We're going to start with a hot take. We're going to start with the guy who Forbes magazine.
What?
Yep. We were going to keep this on the down low, but I'm glad you went ahead.
Forbes magazine.
Yeah.
They have a toddler edition. It's called Forbes. It's called Forbes for the Tots.
Yeah, Forbes for the Tots.
And they have a nice little blurb on page 7.
Were you going to say 7B?
Yeah. It's a newspaper. And it says, look for this guy. He's given some
hot. Up-and-comer.
He's up-and-comer hot taker. Yep. And that's you. And somehow this old man got in the Forbes Tots.
Toddler edition.
Look out for this guy. Yep. And so tell the people what they're looking for.
The column's the Hot Tots. And that's top things you need to be looking for. Toddler edition. It's called Hot Tots.
And so one of those things is to
my
look
hot
out
take for this movie.
For this movie in particular.
This movie specifically.
Great. It's called what again?
Hot Tots.
Okay.
Hot Tots.
Hot Tots is what it's called.
Hot Toddy. Here's the deal. I like the premise of this movie. I liked the boyfriends in this movie. I liked the leading male in this movie. My biggest problem with this movie is that when you have any sort of kind of Charles Dickens-esque like Christmas Carol thing, there should be some sort of development for the character as they go along with each stage of the journey. And that doesn't really happen for her until the very end, which here's the problem. They have not crafted somebody who's particularly likable as a female character. Her character is not really likable, and she doesn't seem to ever come to a growing awareness until the very end when she's confronted by all the boyfriends and she's like, yeah, I realize I have this hang-up issue where everything occurs around Christmas, and also the fact whenever anyone has commitment. So the problem is you spend a long time not really liking this character and not really seeing any growth until the end. So for me, the payoff for this movie is not there. You know, overall though, like I like this movie. I think it's fine. I don't think they landed it the way they should have. I think if they had written her character differently, this movie is a home run for me. I really like it. But that's just how I feel. I feel like they should have had her character develop more throughout the movie. Instead of just trying to rush the final 15 minutes to try to get her to be better. I don't know. That's just where I'm at.
Alonzo?
Really charming cast. I think the leads are great, and they have, you know, crazy sparks. They're both super attractive. Raymond Ablack, you know, another Degrassi.
Degrassi.
Pajamas.
Alum.
Alum.
I think he's.
I don't know how he got there.
Beats me. He is.
He's a Degrassi alum.
He is, I think, crazy hot and like. To an extent that really makes most of the Hallmark leading men just seem like dullards. Like there is like just crazy smolder and like that hair and the various beard growths all good for me. So you know, I liked watching him and Catherine Heinekim as a couple, but and I think this is a fairly clever spin on the Dickens formula, but Panda's right. They don't really establish the female lead who is going through all this as ever really. I don't. It's not that I find her unlikable. I don't think that she was quite as terrible as usually a Scrooge has to be.
Yeah, for the character that's supposed to be Scrooge, they're in a tough spot.
Yeah, to merit this journey, she's actually okay. She just has these commitment issues. And then they don't really address the commitment issues. She just realizes that she's got to knock it off or she's going to lose her best friend who is this smoldering hunk of man. But it's never like... They seem to be building to some sort of confrontation about like, oh, you know, my mother abandoned us and that's why I'm afraid to commit. Like they kind of smooth over that in a way that felt like, well, you might as well dig into that because that's why we're here, right? So, you know, that there's that. I will say this is a really good diversity move for Hallmark. You've got, you know, Asian leads. You've got specificity about like Asian food and drink,
yep,
which is a thing that Hallmark has been kind of slow to come to. I think last year Lifetime had Sugar and Spice Holiday.
Really good.
You know, which really kind of got there first, but like I would like to see more of this where it's not just let's stick actors of color into scripts for white people, but like let's work with that community and make that community specific Christmas traditions and specific just general, you know, culture and diet part of the story.
So in short, I loved this movie. In longer, I really loved both of these leads a lot, and I want to see more of them immediately. Hallmark casting. I thought both of them were just fantastic. And I thought that it was fun. Like, it was one of the, like, dumber reasons for a Dickens. But, like, I really enjoyed it. And I think it had to do with how much I just liked the two leads. I think the one thing that I realized towards the end of this movie was, I want to walk you through where we... So the first boyfriend after the college one, I love you. No, thank you. The next one, let's move in together.
No, thank you.
The next one,
let's get married.
Hey, I'm proposing. No, thank you. So... By if you're walking down these steps, it leads me to believe that she would have said yes to Nate.
Yes.
Because she's progressing as a human without the ghost.
She actually is. There is character development, but it has nothing to do with the ghost.
It has nothing to do. She's is progressing.
Just
because
growing
up and
I'm
assuming that in order to get to the point to where you're
for me.
That where you're saying, hey. Let's move in together. I imagine she finally got up. She finally said, I love you.
She's doing it.
Right?
She the guy who proposed to her said that they had said, I love you on a previous
trip. Yeah. So
she'd gotten that.
She is progressing.
Yeah.
So it would lead me to believe that if one, you know, after the whole thing with Nate and the argument and the blah, 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 they could have come back together even without the ghost. And actually, without the ghost, she maybe not wouldn't have been so shaken up at the moment. Whatever. Don't care. I loved it. So I tell you all the things that as I was thinking about it, I was like, they probably didn't need the ghost at all in this case because she was progressing as a human. But I love the ghost, so fine with me.
Well, and not only that, but... Not only do they not need the ghost, but making the female lead the Scrooge in the Dickens play is a tough spot for a Hallmark movie because what happens is you're not going to please anyone with that. And that's unfortunate because I think there's a lot to like in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like I had a way better time with this movie than I did with the Christmas Tree movie with Danica. I think that the cast is great. It's more of an authentic diversity for sure. The leads are wonderful. Raymond of Black, Catherine Hina Kim, Paul Sun Young Lee is great.
Yep.
This is written by a girl named Lisa Parsons, who's not written a Hallmark movie, by according to IMDb, has written It's Always Sunny and Arrested Development.
Wow.
So let's let her keep doing this and maybe not like saddle her down with Dickens, maybe would be nice. Because what happens is then you have a character who she's the Scrooge. So either she's good... You need to make her meaner or you have to make her nicer. But in the middle, it looks like she's dragging her feet when without the ghost, she's progressing.
Yeah.
And so that's unfortunate because the rest of this movie, I really like think really checks all the boxes. And then this one thing is they're kind of stuck in Arrested Development a little bit because the character is actually developing just fine, but they have to find a way to make her learn something and be unlikable so she can be likable. And I think she's charming. I think she's charming. And I think those two together, great chemistry, like off the charts chemistry. And so it's unfortunate that this one thing gets in the way, but much more to recommend here than what we watched.
And I do want to say a couple of other things that Hallmark did really well in this is one, my guy Nate has different, beard levels.
Do a great
like,
job with
they,
that.
They show like different stages. So that's great. And then also the friend zone tension was fantastic. Like I genuinely,
I mean, they go to the well a bunch with that. Like towards the end, I don't know how much I was, but like early on,
his heart is clearly on his sleeve. And she's just like,
whoop. Early on for sure. I was with you.
So you felt it. You felt it. So that's great. Job well done. Let's go to all the feels. Part of the show, we talk about what this movie gave us is feels, his Christmas feels, whatever it may be. Panda, what you got, pal?
I, I know this sounds ridiculous, but I really liked The First Boyfriend when he came out, the goofball. I thought he was amusing. I think he did a really good job of setting the tone for the rest of the movie, and I felt
phone
like
phone bit was very funny.
It was right. I enjoyed watching him, mainly because that was literally kind of the targeted age that I was when as a teenager back in the day. Does that make sense?
Not yet.
Like, no, he was. She's when he was, roughly
they
the
were
same
15
age
at the same time.
Right. Exactly.
I got
so
you.
It just was a kick for me to see that. I enjoyed that. And then, man, Nate just. Every single time he is just proclaiming and doing the sweetest things for her, like you can't help but just feel for the guy. And then equally the awkward feels of when she's not reciprocating it, it just hurts. That friend zone early on it's tough to watch.
I got it, man. We've been there, haven't we, boys?
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Stop, man. It's easy to find ourselves in Nate aside from everything about Nate as a specimen.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know. I see myself Adonis. Very similar.
Yeah, I don't know what anybody's talking about.
Alonzo feels?
Yeah, you know, when that guy's reading all that long text off that Nokia phone, all I could think was like, and that got entered with the number keys.
Yeah, that's like T9 word, baby.
Yeah, that's, T9 you word. Know, we're still doing it. For feels, I just wrote down Nate, yeah. You know, because he is like such the rightest Mr. Right, you know, for these movies. He's like, he's a social worker who works with foster kids. And he's like, you know, always sending her treats in the middle of the night when she's like working and stuff. And it's like the perfect, perfect boyfriend. And to see her go from like, sort of seemingly just being oblivious to outright like changing the subject of the conversation yeah. before he can say the thing. It's like, but you know, but at least you feel something and you know, it's a thing you respond to. And it's not like a lot of these movies where you just don't ever feel like you're witnessing human behavior and you don't care about it.
Love at the Christmas Table does this thing where these two grow up together and they never can quite make it work. But because this movie does Dickens' Christmas Carol, they have to saddle her with learning everything.
Right.
Whereas if they could balance that out, where like sometimes he's learning or she, like they both have these unrequited feelings.
Sure.
The movie would be much, like much more fuller.
He's always like, the good guy, straight shooter, right. And she's the mess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
The thing that I love about actually doing the cultural stuff. Better than Hallmark has in the past is the food, man.
Yeah.
There was some just, I know we've had a lot of crazy food, like just
no, we haven't eaten anything today,
but I still found myself when they were making these like really delicious looking authentic foods. I was like, man, this looks good. This looks good. So I like that. I'm all about that.
Yeah. The rice flour and red bean paste bun cakes.
My gosh. It looked
delicious. Paul's Sun Hyung Lee is really fun in this movie. I really liked him a lot. He plays a Korean dad in Kim's Convenience and could easily give the same performance and he doesn't. He gives a different performance. He speaks with a different like dialect, which is cool. And I think he does a really, really good job of showcasing how to get over like tough loss. So I thought he was great. Most scenes he was in, I really enjoyed.
Let's take one more quick break.
Let's do it, shall we?
We'll hear from a couple more sponsors and then we'll be back and we'll break this movie down with the Wait, What's in the What the Homer.
I love it.
You heard that? Hey parents, it's Dad, Gray, Bran over here. Well, I get a little tired sometimes being a parent because it's like, man, what am I going to do today? Like, how are we going to keep these kids entertained? What are we going to do?
Oh, my goodness.
KiwiCo coming fixes in clutch. That.
Are you kidding me?
Unbelievable.
It's the best.
It is the best. KiwiCo sends these boxes of hands-on creative learning tools for your kids. That's not boring in any way, shape, or form.
They're easy for you to do as a parent.
That's exactly
I'm not
right.
crafty.
No, I'm not crafty. I did one with my 3-year-old, which was, it was a like a campfire camping theme.
Yeah.
And so we built this little fire and you had a little backpack that you could decorate as a bear. My son loved it.
My boys became ladybugs. They literally created this thing. They were like capes they put on. It was unreal. Now my kids, I'm not joking, we pull in front of my house, I park in front of my house, they see the KiwiCo box on the front porch and they get excited.
I love it. These are hands-on activities for your kids to do and for you to do with your kids. And KiwiCo is KiwiCo is hooking you up. A fun little Halloween surprise, if you will. No spooky spookies, though. 50% off your first month. 50% off.
Half off.
50, your first month with free shipping on any crate line by putting the code DECK in at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code DECK. We are also sponsored today by, Milk Bar.
Oh, yeah.
Milk Bar, guys, we love the sweets around here. It is no secret. But Milk Bar does it right. Here's the thing. I love cake a lot. I really like cake. Some people are kind of like indifferent towards cake. I really like cake. But the tough thing is like, cake's so whatever at this point. Like, how do you reinvent the wheel with cake? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How would you do it?
I don't know. Mustard?
Okay.
Inappropriate.
Poppy seeds.
Ooh, I think that's been done already.
Well, here's the thing. Instead of, you know, doing something crazy for your birthday, hook yourself up with some Milk Bar. You might be wondering, what do I do here? Well, Milk Bar creates these amazing cakes, salty sweet cookies, a Milk Bar pie. They got some amazing things like pumpkin Milk Bar pie, apple cider donut cake, and the desserts you need for your Thanksgiving and your Friendsgiving. Every Milk Bar creation is thoughtfully and beautifully packaged, and they have a super fast, even overnight, nationwide delivery. I love Milk Bar. My wife loves Milk Bar. It's delicious. And here's the good news, everybody, is our listeners are going to get $10 off any order of $50 or more at Milk Bar by going to milkbarstore.com/deck. That is milkbarstore.com/deck. That is $50, $10 off any order of $50 or more by going to milkbarstore.com/deck today. Hey, everybody.
Oh, boy.
It's your boys. Let's get to the wait what part of the show. We talk about the things in this movie that made us go, wait, what? Panda.
I want to point out that they have made the bold move, Lauren and Nate, at a small little friend gathering to go ahead and have printed up winning hats that say Christmas Champs, third year in a row.
That's right.
That's bold.
That's bold. First of all, you spend a lot of money on those hats to specialize them. And second of all, it's also bold mainly because there's only about four other people there outside of them.
That's right.
So that's a decision.
It's cool brag, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool brag.
Nate says to her that he's concerned about her because she stole an extra marshmallow for her hot chocolate. He says she might have a problem. I guess he's teasing, but I just want to point out, stealing an extra marshmallow, she's not... What's happening? I don't understand why she's... It's an extra marshmallow.
She's just joking.
It's an extra marshmallow. Why don't you lay off the extra schmallow, boy?
Schmallow. A little schmallow.
Lay off.
Degrassi along.
Degrassi. Finally, I just think she could have waited just a few more minutes to finish the pitch. You've been stringing the poor guy along for 10 years. Like, why don't you land that account, Chief? Like, why don't you just do it? Just do it.
Yeah.
Get the account and the guy. Like,
you can do it both. You can maximize
the pitch was pitched.
Yeah, it was the last slide of the pitch. Yeah. Like, just turn around and end it without saying I love you. That's all you got to do.
It's not hard. You got this. Yeah. It was a decision. I'm done.
Alonzo?
Yeah. I think there is this notion of at what point does her obliviousness become like actually cruel?
Yeah.
That you know, oh, it's my best friend that I love him and I want to hurt him. But at the same time, it's like you are hurting him, you know, by not at least acknowledging the elephant in the room and having the conversation with him saying, look, I care about you, but I don't want to be in this relationship with you. Like it turns a corner there, which is kind of weird. And then even at the end, you know, when it's been established that like all of her breakups have taken place at Christmas because that's when the mother left the family. And Nate knows this because Nate's always the person that she has turned to.
He's going all in.
He is proposing at Christmas. And it's like, dude, like just on the off chance that this isn't 100% or like wait till like, I don't know, Epiphany, Valentine's Day, St. Patty's, something else. Don't do it in front of the Christmas tree just in case you're reopening a wound. But he does it anyway. Lucky for him, it works. But, you know, could have gone south real easy.
I didn't have a ton in this movie aside from there is a couple of different versions acoustically of Auld Lang Syne in this movie. One that's happening like watch, I don't like,
and he said he wrote the song.
Yeah, but it's clearly Auld Lang Syne.
Yes, I'm playing you a song I wrote.
It's clearly Auld Lang Syne.
It's Auld Lang Syne.
And then it comes up again later with someone else playing it. I think it's just on in the background.
Yeah, in the background. Yeah.
And then nothing ever happens with it. And I thought for sure we were going to get some. We didn't get anything of that. We didn't get one thing of that.
Mm-mm.
We didn't get one thing.
It's public domain. He could write it if he wants to.
He could write it. Listen, let's all be fans of each other. That's what I'm trying to say. And I do, there was a part of me that found the digital snow to be charming. And there was another part of me that couldn't stop wondering why.
The two movies we've seen so far that are new this year, they have gone hard on the digital snow.
This was a lot. I felt like it was a lot in this, like.
In the Christmas Trees movie, they did it too. It's like every scene.
Is it the year of the digital snow?
It's the new thing. And on the one hand, you know, it doesn't give you that weird sudsy thing that you get sometimes when they're blowing out soap bubbles. But you're also getting this white, perfect snow that doesn't land anywhere.
Never like, sticks.
It doesn't accumulate to anything or on anyone.
I like the way it looks until you really focus on it.
Yeah. Right? If it is seen longer than 5 seconds, you're like, oh wait, it doesn't do anything.
But it was especially noticeable on the zip line scene.
It was a green screen and digital snow together.
Combo.
It would be cool if you could make digital snow that like lands on people and stuff.
Yeah, man, that's so good.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good heavy hitter there, buddy.
Digital collecting snow.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if you could just land on things. Stuff.
There was a back in the old days with like Windows, you guys know that one? there was a screensaver that had snow that would collect like in the corners.
Does that ring any bells, everybody?
You could do that, but on humans.
We have the technology right now.
They had it on 97.
97.
Windows 97, baby.
Bill was so ahead of his time back then. He knew what we'd be looking for.
I'm telling you, it's going to blow our minds when we watch Hawkeye on Disney Plus. I will be watching. I don't know if y'all will necessarily, but that's going to be like fake New York Christmas winter on an MCU budget.
Look out.
And it's going to look so good. And it's going to make all of these movies. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be good or not, but the fake snow and all the holiday trappings are going to just be like this to the nth degree.
Oh boy. I can't wait. Dan.
They are playing this game night and they start, it's like a Pictionary situation and they say time's up and she goes, oh, I was going for Jingle Bell Rocks. And the paper by my account just has triangles and circles on it. And I don't know how you get there.
She claimed she was drawing bells and rocks.
I just don't know.
That reminded me, did they get hats? Were they claiming they were playing charades?
They played a bunch of different games.
Okay. They are only claiming that they're the charades champion with the hats.
The thing that got me that I can't believe you didn't mention, no, they're game night champions.
They're game night champions. Okay.
The whole
I can't believe you didn't mention is they break it out and they're like, we're the winners. And the guy comes out with a plate of cookies and he says, losers get first dibs on the cookies. So I want to get this straight. Winner, bad trucker hat. Loser, first dibs on Christmas cookies. Yeah. You're tanking it, Brand. You're trying to lose at that point. That's what you're doing.
I think losers get dibs on Christmas cookies because winners are being such jerks with the hats.
Fair enough. So my man puts together this party for the foster home, and it's awesome. There is a firecrackers at the Christmas tree lighting, and there are only 12 people there to witness it. And it was just like, it's easily the most show we've had to count down a Christmas tree lighting and for no one to be there, just unfortunate. Also, we can give her a hard time all we want about stringing him along. Bro, shoot your shot. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't care if she's trying to change the conversation. At some point in a decade, if you've not told her how you feel, it's not all on her. It can't be.
Fair.
Because she can still say there's something in my head that says maybe he doesn't feel that way. I mean, we can say it's most on her, but if he's not even going to try?
Sure.
I mean, come on.
You got to try at some point, bro.
That's good. That's another good one there.
I agree with you. Yeah. But I think the one thing that they do here is they show that there was always this, like, she was always with somebody else, you know? Like, she went from this one guy.
They've known each other a decade.
Yeah, but those gates were always closed.
And he always, like, has people as well.
For sure. So the timing was never right. I don't think they did a super good job. I did feel like they tried to make her seem like she was worse than she was.
Yeah. And then last but not least, the coworker of her, they're in Boston is where they are. And the coworker of her says, you're not going to believe this. My husband's parents, my in-laws were coming up from North Carolina, but then my father-in-law sprained his ankle. Now we've got to go to North Carolina. What? He just rolled his ankle and now.
He went to that same hospital in Holiday Hearts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then the cookie crawl one too, Christmas Joy, where the grandma sprained her ankle and she's like, it's touch and go. We're in the hospital.
She's
for
in a
three
recovery
days.
Home for six
but
weeks.
But I mean, your entire plans don't change over a sprained ankle. I mean, I just, all of a sudden now she's got to spend it in North Carolina instead of Boston because my man rolled his ankle. I mean, put some ice on it. I don't know. Gee, that's all I got.
Let's get to the What the Hallmark Spark show. We want to work up and maybe have to get some clarity questions that we still have. I'm going to start with Panda. Panda, what are you wondering, pal?
Man, do you think she got that account? I'm worried about her because a year later,
right below,
what's
are
her
they
job?
Still together? Is do you think they landed the account? I think.
I think it's a doggone good one because she was very into her business, and then she's clearly her boss is confused. The client's upset with her as she walks out. No one's happy except the guy. I think it's a valid question.
They usually tell you if they landed the account.
Yeah,
they usually say it.
I got nothing.
That's what I'm saying. Because normally that's included in the happy ending. It's like, and you get landed.
We don't know. And she's been talking about it the whole time. Mm.
It is a better bakeware account or pitch rather than the one from
pitch.
Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
Bake your heart out, baby.
Bake your heart out.
It works well until she just decides to declare her love to a screen. Yeah. I mean, like before then, it's fine.
She's crushing it.
Alonzo?
I didn't really have a specific one except that, again, when people have gone through this whole long thing together of like, you were in the friend zone and you were afraid of commitment and you weren't there when you, I guess the 1 year later is supposed to make us think that like everything's all hunky dory now, but I need some receipts of personal growth.
Yeah. Mine was, go ahead, Brian.
Well, this movie ends with a year later in the future, she's engaged.
Yeah.
And she's someone out the window. Is that the bird lady from Home Alone 2? No. That's the.
Come on. Ron.
it's her boyfriend's past.
The ghost of you that keep me awake.
What are they? What are they?
Manifestations of her subconscious.
So she should probably get that checked out, huh? Right?
Yeah, no.
She finally said yes. You'd think that would make them, like, you would see them fade.
Well, I think they were there to sort of see, like job well done. Our work here is done. Now we're back in the ether.
Bye. Yeah. Bye. Where are those guys up to?
We can stop bothering you now.
Mm. Where do you think
they're just projections. They're phantoms.
They're not real, if you will.
Phantasms.
Ooh.
That's nice. Mask of the Phantasm, even.
Phantasms.
My question is if we... Phantom. If we... Degrassi, alarm, drama. My question is if we operate under the theory that the ghosts don't do anything and she actually is progressing, do we have a runaway bride situation? where when they get she did she
that
says
the,
yes
that would be the
that would be the next one
correct.
When they get married she does the full Runaway Bride
man
yeah
oh. maybe
so maybe there's somebody another dude later who actually gets her
that's right you
to
never
say
know.
Yes at the altar yeah
but I mean this is going to be a lot the rest of her life like it's just a lot of starting and stopping again
that's right
yeah yep.
a lot of luck
isn't that how it is for all of us though.
So true.
Yeah, oh, isn't wow. it? Amen.
Hey, amen. When was the last time you started and stopped?
Ooh, 04.
04? Yeah. Wow, you've been doing, no, is I that know. The start or stop?
No, you said started and stop. I've done one or the other every year since. Sometimes but, it's a start year, sometimes it's a stop
Wait,
year.
What happened in 04?
You don't want to know about it.
I asked.
It was Avril Lavigne's new album. It just was. Came out.
The court records are sealed.
No, yeah. that was her first happy ending. No, yeah, I think that's the name of So Much For My Happy Ending. That
Complicated's
album.
Not on that album?
No, that's... No.
No, Happy Ending's years later. Are you kidding yeah. me?
So much for my
yeah,
happy
I know the track.
We're all familiar. Skater Boy?
First album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the second single after Complicated, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We did, everybody. Congratulations. We're back tomorrow with another great episode.
To
until
what?
Tomorrow. Until then, I'll be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, yeah, that Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.